Title of this talk is Choose to Follow God. So we'll go somewhere we don't normally go in the scriptures. Go to Acts chapter 2. Yeah, I know. It's a bit out there. Acts chapter 2. Choose to follow God. Acts chapter 2. And we'll start reading in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, excuse me, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. So we repented, we got baptized, and we received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So we, it says there in verse 39, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we understand that we were called by God, we were chosen by God, we were predestinated by God. It was all part of his plan that he knew us before we were born, and he wanted us to be a part of his kingdom and to have his spirit. So if he's called us, let us choose to continue to follow him. But then at the end of verse 40, it says, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And so Peter here is speaking to those that witnessed this miracle of being filled with the Holy Spirit, this 120-odd people, and he's saying this, look, turn from the untoward generation, save yourselves from this untoward generation and turn to God. So God saves us. You know, it says that baptism, we are saved through baptism. He saves us from this world, from death, you know, that we follow a path of life and that everlasting. But it says here, save yourselves. So these people that were not part of the kingdom of God, he's asking them to turn away from this untoward generation, to repent, be baptized, follow God's ways, to choose to follow God, and to consciously push away this crooked generation around you and the crooked ideas that aren't straight. You know, the ideas that mean nothing compared to God's straight ways and pathways to righteousness. So we'll go to Isaiah chapter 48. There's a few scriptures close by in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 16. Come ye near unto me. This is God speaking. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. So here it is, the Lord saying, look, come and follow me. Come and seek me out. Turn from the crooked generation. You know, he's our Redeemer, and he teaches us to profit. We can learn lots of things, you know, learn about what life means and our part in it, about things that others cannot even comprehend. They may muse as they sit in circles and discuss philosophies and so forth. But we know, we get a taste of what it is, what the spiritual realm is, what it means, what heaven is and hell and so forth. We are taught to profit. These are good things for us to know if we choose to follow God. And he leads us by the way that we should go. Okay? That's what God wants to do. And then verse 18, it's kind of repeated in Deuteronomy 5 and Psalm 81, this kind of lamentation that crops up every now and again, where God says, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. If only people would follow me, follow God, and follow his commandments, then as a result of that, their peace will be as a river and their righteousness as the waves of the sea, and these blessings will follow. So God wants us to follow him, and it grieves him when people do not, because he wants to open up the windows of heaven, as it says in Malachi, you know, that open up the windows of heaven on a people to show his power here on earth. So let us follow him, so that we are not part of this lamentation of God that, oh, I wish you'd follow my commandments. Ah, I wish you'd follow me. You know, let us follow him and follow his ways, continue to follow his ways. Back to chapter 47, Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 12. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast laboured from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. So this here is in kind of a demand from the Lord. We read that lamentation, oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. And here's God saying, like, demanding of a people that refuse to follow God's ways, but follow the ways of the enchantments and their sorceries and all these other ideas. And it says here, you're wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. So you keep heaping upon yourselves these different ideas, these new ideas. Oh, you've studied something new, these and changing about and so forth. Wearied because it's misdirected. You're not sticking to what God wants and following God's ways. And I like how it says there, the astrologers. I mean, astrology is very popular now. Stargazers, reading the star signs is very popular now. And then even the monthly prognosticators, reading the star, the prediction for the month, you know, that monthly projection of what is going to happen for you in the month to come. And then what it says is demand of God is still like, let them, those people that these astrologers and stargazers and so forth that write these things that you follow their ways, well, let them stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon thee. Let them. You know, like, we know the end. We know that the world's going to end. We know Jesus will come back. We know there's that Maranatha, which is good and bad. It's good if you're raised up to meet the Lord in the air. It's bad if you go to hell. We know there's the goats and the sheep. There's this dividing thing. So let the astrologers and the stargazers, the sorcerers and those that are involved in enchantments and all that sort of business, let them save you. Like, demand of them that you'll be raised up to meet the Lord in the air through them. Well, no, of course not. That's what the Lord's saying is follow him. Choose to follow God, because God's the one who will save us from this untoward generation. He'll continue to preserve us if we keep to looking to him. Back to chapter 44, Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. And verse 8, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from the time and have declared, ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, I know not any. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. So these two verses are right next to each other. It's a little juxtaposition here. And says there that we are witnesses of the power of what the Lord has done through us. We are witnesses. It says, don't be afraid there in verse 8. Have I not told you from the time and have declared it? You know, the path to follow, to choose to follow God. We are witnesses and we have testimonies that we hear at all our meetings, that we're witnesses that there is a God, that He is the God that we serve, and the real God, the living God. There is no God beside Him. You know, and I like it how I don't know of any, you know, that are living gods. And then the flip side, verse 9, you know, those that make their graven images, that's all vanity. Those that follow the sorceries and the stargazers and, I don't know, other gods that they might think of. Well, there are so many, and they're delectable things, the things that seem nice and popular at the time. They shall not profit. There will be no profit from it. And then it says there again, it says they are their own witnesses. Okay? So we are witnesses of the power of God, that there is only one God and living God, and the God that we're following and this, we get answers from God. These other people, they're also witnesses that their gods are dead. You know, there's no miracles there. There's not that true joy of being filled with the Holy Spirit and that peace that passes all understanding. They are their own witnesses that the gods they serve don't see or know anything. And then it says there at the end of verse 9, when the Lord comes back, that they may be ashamed. I was wrong all along. So let us follow God. Let us stick with that crew of people that are referred to in verse 8. And turn away from the crew of people that are referred to in verse 9. Over to chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. Now, I always think of a rock, something that's firm. It's established. He hath established it. It's immovable. He created it not in vain. It was for a purpose. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come, you know, get together and choose to follow God. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations, saved from the untoward generation. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear or confess. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. There's that word ashamed again. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory, shall be justified as being perfect. Those that are incensed against the Lord, that get annoyed when we talk about the things of the Lord, and if they hold fast on that and don't choose to follow God, then they shall be ashamed, you know, ashamed when the Lord comes back. So it's quite an incredible passage here that the Lord didn't create the earth and the heavens and everything in vain. It was for a purpose there. He created us for a purpose and that we may follow him. And he's asked us, you know, the spiritual seed of Jacob, to seek him. And he's not asking that in vain. You know, we have an expected end of righteousness, to speak righteousness. And that's our purpose. Choose to follow him. Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32. And it says there as well, I've sworn by myself. You know, the Lord has sworn by himself. He cannot lie. It is true. Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32 and verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. So great encouragement there that the Lord is our hiding place, as we sang in the hymn. He's hidden us in the cleft of the rock, you know, protected from so much. And if we follow him, it says that he'll instruct us and teach us so that we have this great knowledge and this great understanding. Because he doesn't want us to be like a horse and a mule, to be constantly pulling at us with the bit. You know, that we have this knowledge and this understanding, and that we start to see things, and we purposely follow him and follow his ways. And that's his plan. He wants us to be his children through love and understanding and experience and faith and all those things. And there is that great promise as well, as a result of choosing to follow God, that mercy shall compass us about. Yeah, isn't that fantastic? So it's not for no reason that we choose to follow God. It's not a dead thing here on earth. He compasses us about with mercy and this understanding and this growth. We experience so many wonderful things. And on top of that, we have this wonderful hope of being raised up to meet the Lord in the air, which will diminish all the great things that the Lord's done for us here on earth. You know, it'll be pale into insignificance compared to the wonderful spiritual things we'll be exposed to forever when dwelling with God. So verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice for that he chose us and we continue to choose to follow God. Okay, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you're double-minded. So as we choose to follow God, as we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. And as we draw closer to him, he'll respond in drawing closer to us as well. And he gives more grace, you know, to those that are humble. So that's the whole thing of choosing to follow God and his ways, being humble, knowing that his ways are higher than our ways. You know, but if we're proud and we think that our ways are better, that's that pride, and that's where we get that resistance from God. So humility is an important aspect of walking on in the kingdom of God, and here it is again, that he gives grace. He grants amazing grace to the humble, and that's submitting ourselves, as we all do, to the ordinance of God. Last scripture, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. It's a very important chapter. Well, yeah, it's an incredible chapter of the Bible, John chapter 6. But this aspect that I've referred to before. John chapter 6 and verse 66. After Jesus was going through explaining things about the kingdom of God and his role in it, and just perplexed a lot of people. And then at the end here, it goes in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. So this is why also we choose to follow God, because where else do we go? There is no other living God. We want to follow the word of God, which is Jesus Christ, who has the words of eternal life. We want to live forever. We don't want to die forever. We want to live forever. And we believe and are sure. We have that knowledge. We've been taught by him through the Spirit. And we have this firmness of understanding that that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, and that we also are his siblings. How amazing is that? That we are like Christ before God. We're on par. We're all the same. We are joint heirs, every single one of us here, equal with the Son of God. We are the Son of God. And it's truly remarkable. And so let us continue to choose to follow God. That is that thing. We don't have a bit in our mouth where we're forced. We choose to follow him based on understanding and experience. And then we just reap the benefit. It's as simple as that. And we'll be raised up to meet him in the air. Okay, thank you.